coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Hour three of Old School comes your way, as always, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients, and Butcher Shop. Three Lincoln locations, one up in Omaha. Check out themercadobutcher.com today to make sure you know what's on tap for Fired Up Thursday at the Mercado East tomorrow. 402-464-5685 is the number to our starter, Heyman Jewelers. Text line, want to get to this from Dave in Fullerton. I'm late to the show. Dave, that's all right. Welcome. Says, just wanted to tell Jay he looked sharp on Big Red. Wrap up, I need to buy me a suit like yours and hope to look half as good.
That suit is withstood the test of time. I think it withstands the test because I never get dressed up.
It's just a classic look. You pulled it off.
Well, you got to do it. Well, black and white matches. That's, that's it. And that's easy to do. I wear the same thing generally every day, so it's all good. You can walk out of the house with a lot of confidence knowing that you're matching. There's been times when I used to do TV all the time down in Houston. You know, the first time I did it, you know, somebody asked me, did you get dressed in the dark? Yeah, so it's...
Dang.
Yeah, my makeup was bad too, but that's another story for another day. So.
Let's mark up some Whiteboard Wednesday. How about it?
Yeah, you know, this is obviously Nebraska coming off the bye week in... you know, Michigan State, you know, they're going to try to really probably replicate whatever Michigan did their own way, right? So we talked about the guys that you got to be ready for, right? And the number one guy here is Aiden Childs, right? That's the quarterback. He stirs the pot. Now, the ultimate tip for the average fan is when you're watching the game, the depth of the running back. Depth of the running back means, is he even with the quarterback, in front of the quarterback? Most likely it's going to be quarterback run. If he's behind the quarterback, you have to be really ready for a run or a conventional run. That means by the running back running the football. And this,
What is it about that strategy that makes that?
Well, it's for the timing, right? And so if I'm going to be a lead blocker for a quarterback, I'm either going to be even with him or in front of him. So essentially I go into a fullback mode. Now, before that, Aiden Childs is in the pistol formation. The gun formation, he's at 7 yards. Pistols anywhere from, you know, 4.5 to 5 yards or 5.5 yards, you know, behind the center. Another tip is the splits, right? The receivers tight on the right side, close to the tackle, definitely within a player. Or a player and a half, tight by the tight end off the ball, and he has not moved. So if he's not moving, you know it's coming towards you. Generally with motion, for fans out there, for our red zone purposes, not necessarily Nebraska, but for Michigan State, once you see movement or shifts, they're going to run the opposite of where they're shifting to.
So that's more window dressing motion. Then create advantage.
Yeah, motion. And it just create chaos, mess with your eyes. There isn't any movement here. So as a defensive player or a captain, the linebacker right here in the middle, and that's actually exactly where I would like to be lined up, is essentially, you know, head up with the center right behind the nose guard. You can play hide and go seek. The other tip is look at the receiver's footwork, right? His left foot is up. You can only run out. You can't run underneath because you step underneath yourself. And then there's a linebacker here. You would essentially be running into traffic. So if you take into all those things that I just talked about, you got to know all this within a millisecond, and you have to communicate it with it to other, you know, well, about 8 other guys within a second.
Now, really, see, just not your deep safety.
No, this deep safety needs to communicate out. The linebacker communicates forward and sideways. That means to the defensive line and to the other linebacker mates, which would be a nickel or whatever they have the fancy names for them. So. You guys on the radio can't see it. They're in a what's called a reduced odd front. An odd front is a defensive player over the center position, a defensive tackle either head up or slightly outside of the guard, and then another defensive tackle head up or slightly outside of the opposite guard. So people on the stream, you got the first interior, 3 interior linemen covered. So now you know as a linebacker, I know exactly where the play can go, right? Because you got to start counting, right? So You got an outside guy here. So if I'm going, if it's going to weak side, there's no
on the offense's right. You're
on
left.
The offense's right. There's nowhere. There's no open gap for the run to go. So really, to be honest with you, he needs to be shaded over to where this ump is right here. If I was him, but I like it in the middle to keep the count and confuse the offense.
But even if you're going to stay head up over your nose tackle and your center,
you're going to favor.
You're leaning that way. You're anticipating that way. So even if you are straight up, you should play a step faster going to defenses. Right.
Yeah. You play fast to where you know what we used to call you have business towards, and you want to be a little bit slower to the offense's right, defense's left, if you're looking on the stream. Now, this is a play right here, essentially, that Michigan ran against us. It's dressed up differently. So the thing that people don't understand about college football versus the pros, there's a limited amount of time that they can meet. That means the coaches, the players, the position coaches. You're not getting a big playbook. Okay? Because when you get into season, they have to run, especially in Big Ten play, you got to run what's going to work or what you're hoping is going to work. Well, Michigan and Michigan State, and Michigan State ran this same game or same weekend as Michigan against Nebraska. They're going to run it to the left. It essentially becomes a toss, but it's an old school boss play. Essentially, they try to stretch you out towards the sideline, and they want to hit this run, ideally, between the hash and the numbers right here. And they used to call it the alley, obviously, for obvious reasons. And what they do is they try to create a soft edge. So the guy that's in the most at the most disadvantage is this outside linebacker right here and this, I guess, nickel or linebacker right here. Because they have to play off of each other, okay? You can already tell by their alignment they're not doing it. And then also, if there's a soft edge, you have to replace.
Okay, so walk me through this here. The outside linebacker probably responsible for the running back, the nickel for the tight end, and then
No. So if they're in man, right, and that's where the motion and shifts would come from. So when you start running around everywhere, you know you're in man. So most likely, I'll take some of these drawings off here so it's not too much, right? So all this markings out here. So if it's man-to-man here, most likely it's this linebacker here has this tight end. If it's man-to-man, this safety here has this receiver or is it nickel safety, whatever. Mm-hmm. This linebacker most likely has this running back. Now, you can do some things here on Austin on the outside where you can run essentially a box coverage where you have the two outside guys kind of cluing off of this guy. So whatever side he goes and he's already predetermined, you can do all that. Then you can run a double coverage or a box technique or a triangle technique, 3-on-2. You could do a ton of stuff out of the same look. But let's just say it's man to man. That's where your eyes and alignment have to be so important. So if it was me, as we're going to go back here and not trying to coach anybody over there, I'm going to have my safety a little bit shaded over here, right? Just a step, right? Depending on what we're doing.
But just be on the offensive guy's outside shoulder.
Yeah, because I don't want to create a soft edge. Or I'm going to have this linebacker shaded over right here. Because then now I know where my edge is going to be. Mm-hmm. By alignment alone. The alignment alone means if the play started right now, the edge is soft. A soft edge meaning what? You're going to give up a pretty big run play. So this is pre-snapped, right? And then we'll go here to our friends here that stole my idea, right? And that's exactly what they're trying to do, right? Right? This is actually kind of a little bit backwards. Okay, so what happens here, that's what happens, and this is where the ball is snapped right here. It's a little bit of a screenshot here where you look at it, this edge, right? Where did I say the ball wants to hit?
Alley.
Between here. In here. So when you're a man-to-man defense, this is how you know it's man. Back turned, right? I'll get this off of here so everybody's looking. Man-to-man defense. The worst thing you do against a soft edge defense when you're giving up the soft edge or a predetermined running quarterback run if you're in two-man or anything like that, where's his eyes? Back towards it. That means he is out of the run game. This is a great block by him by just essentially running him off, and then he'll block him, right? So this edge is soft here. Look at this. Now look at the angle right here. This is what they want to do. They want to create angles on you so they can block you. It's not even have to be a big block. You don't have to knock anybody's block off. You just got to get in the way. Another guy in the way, you got a free runner that's coming here to try to get him. And this has got to be an extraordinary play for the defense moving forward to stop it from being a 20-yard game. And fortunately for Michigan State and unfortunately for USC, it didn't work out for USC in their favor, as we see it right here. This is the best look right here, right?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Now, look at that right there. He's already gaining yards. And how you can tell that a defense is compromised, you got one free hitter that they know they don't have to block. The defense lineman, one, two, three, a guy on the ground. Excuse me here, right? And then look at this right here. Look at this edge right here. Seal. And they're okay with this because he's getting paid NIL money right now. We'll put this right here, or NIL money, to make Jay Foreman look bad. And that's essentially the same play dressed up differently that Nebraska, I think, there was it 75 yards they run. They try to hit it up the alley. Most run plays are going to go up the alley. And this is a better look. I did this and when I went back and did it, because this is the, I always call it, I like to go back, explain the play, then go back to the original start of the play. This is anatomy of a bad conversation with Reggie Herring for Jay Foreman right here. Number one, look at here. I'm big on footwork, right? So we knew this guy originally, we could go back to the other one, was head up on the center. Look at his feet. Bad footwork. That's called stepping in the bucket, right? So you stepped under yourself. You created another seal right there. So now you should be a free hitter. That's the way the defense is signed up for you to be a free hitter. You essentially can become Junior Seau of USC. You could run and it would be a run and tackle, and you would be able to pick and choose what alley you'd go through. Now you just essentially blocked yourself. So everybody's
with one wrong step.
Everybody's going to call in to a, you know, Jay Foreman post game show. We need to get rid of the coordinators. We need to run a 4-man front. We need to run a 5-man front. All this stuff, change the coverages. We need new players. We need to give all the NIL money to whoever's in the portal, all based on this play here. And it falls on the shoulders of the guy that's supposed to be the leader of your defense, and I'm sure he's a good player, is him, right? And we know what Kansas City Chiefs fans, footwork is imperative, right? Because D Ford,
yep, yeah. D
Ford, when he's in the shower, he looks down at his left big toe, and it costs you a Super Bowl ring. It happens, right? But you compromise all other 10 guys, are all, you know, your whole defense and outcome potentially of the game on your footwork. This is not a coaching, this is not a scheme problem. Mm-hmm. This is a simple, fixable problem. And that's where, you know, teams like Michigan State, where they have to do this because they have either seen you on tape of being undisciplined in what they saw at USC, or they've seen that you do not align correctly against a bunch formation, because it does mm-hmm. cause confusion. Because what they want you to do is just think a little bit, and they snap the ball. Next thing you know, they have what I like to call the alley right here. I mean, just look at this right here before the running back gets it, right? It's easy for the running back. It's easy for Childs. You pitch, run. There's no need for him to cut back because they have a free guy open or a free guy right here. So you're essentially asking to get hit. So where he needs to go right here is predetermined. And then as we saw in the previous slide, the receiver, is running the guy off here. So mm-hmm. right now, as an offensive coordinator, when you saw them pre-align, you're thinking, I'm supposed to be getting 6 to 8 yards. That's why they call plays in rhythm. That's why they test you about your principles. That's what Michigan State's going to probably try to do, and that's what Nebraska needs to fix. If they fix it just by alignment, pre-snap analysis, pre-snap communication, and all the things you need in order to be successful as a defense, as we get back to the original slide here, right? We get past the NIL and stuff. Everybody wants that, right? If you want NIL, all you have to do is line up correctly. And when you look at this right now, but all the slides that we talked about, just look at how it could be fixed, right? Austin, you're a basketball player. So everybody out there that knows basketball, the worst thing that you want as an offense on basketball is not have good what?
Spacing.
You do not want to allow two defenders to cover three players. Mm-hmm. So flip it on the other side. Offensively, you want to be able to have two blockers that could get in the way of three defenders. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at this, and people that are on the stream, and when you look at this right now, this is what you want. You got one, two against one, two, three in close proximity. And I'll even give you a half a guy because old buddy right here has bad footwork. Mm. So if I'm grading, I think it's, is that 18 and 13?
Think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They get pluses already because I know they're going to block two guys. They're going to possibly block three and four block themselves. You're getting highlighted in the team meeting room.
The other part about this I think people should take note of is who the receiver and the tight end are being asked to block, because what else did Michigan State do? It got 6'4", 300, and 6'5", 300 out on the perimeter against DBs, who, to your point, were already kind of blocked just based on alignment. But Michigan State gave its guys a good angle to do just enough getting in the way. They let the big fellas get out of the way and clear the space in front against the DBs.
And so what are you going to expect from Michigan State? They're going to try to dress up any success that they've had against USC in prior games and a little bit with the concepts or wherever they attack, or Michigan attack Nebraska defensively, and try to run it their way. Now, it's an easy fix. That's why I said in the Jay Foreman postgame show here on The Ticket is the Michigan game is easily fixable, right? Mm-hmm. Now, number one, what you could do, like I said, is if you go back towards it right here, is you look at the alignment and assignment right here. You know, you want to align this guy just over here outside the tight end, right here. Okay?
It's a step.
But then it gives you more spacing, though. Mm-hmm. Because now it allows this guy here, which is a linebacker nickel, if he wants, when you run that same thing, you've already predetermined who he has to block. That's the guy, either you or that safety blocks him. That allows, or the receiver would have to block Jay Foreman. The tight end would have to now try to block the outside linebacker.
Who's get around him.
Right. So now who's the free hitter? This guy, and he's coming straight downhill into this alley. So as much as the offense is trying to create an alley, defensively you need to create an alley yourself. That's why you call it, you know, you're a filler, you're an edge setter, you're an alley filler or a run fitter, and then you're the cutback guy. Unfortunately for USC, they do everything backwards, where this guy over here is the filler. The reason why I know that is because they have old Rob Ryan as their linebacker coach. And that's the way that they played it. You want to know why he played it like that? They come from Buddy Ryan, the old 46 defense with the Chicago Bears, and they had one of the best alley fillers of all time in Mike Singletary. And the reason why they did that...
I've heard he runs a tough workout.
Yeah. He had my man Julia Patterson leave town. And he almost had me tap out once. But the reason why you do that is because, or they did that, is because Mike Singletary was a little bit smaller, but he was a ferocious hitter. So you play to a skill set. So when you're going out here and you're watching the game, the best thing about this Whiteboard Wednesday is to look at it. So when you're watching the game, all you got to do is count and look at where you're lined up. And the offense will tell you where they're running every single time, especially with the lack of movement.
The other Nebraska angle to this is going to be defensively. We know that Nebraska likes to play a lot of man. John Butler has told you as much. You can't play man. You can't press up. You know, you're probably not going to play for me. You mentioned that wide receiver just running his guy out of the play. Mm-hmm. Essentially running a nine route and then blocking when he got his opportunity. Against a mobile quarterback, that's dangerous too, right? Even if it's a, especially if it's a designed pass play. And we know that, we've heard from John Butler and his players that his teaching style has players keep their eye on their man, not in the backfield with the quarterback. As a defense against a mobile quarterback like this, if you're the linebacker, Jay, and you see that the quarterback has no intention to throw, right? He's broken the pocket. He's on the move and he's tucked the ball. He's not back here like faking like he's going to throw it. Do you have a call to your defensive backs to turn around? Can they even hear you that far down the field? How can Nebraska's DBs still play the way that John Butler wants them to and still find a way to be alert to the potential of Chiles running?
Well, number one, you won't be able to hear any call because ideally there's 90,000 people going crazy. So on the road, maybe so, but on the at home, definitely not. More importantly, you have to read eyes, and then you understand that the wide receiver in this case will settle down and try to tackle you. But quarterback run game has to be handled by the first and second level, and you have to mix up man-to-man, just basic man-to-man defense. You got to have catch man-to-man defense. You got to have what I used to call zone man concepts as well, which I talk about when it's, okay, a box coverage is four defenders to cover three. That means somebody's free. So the free guy is on the quarterback, or triangle where you're having three on two. It's no different. You're playing zone. Once the guy comes in your zone, then you got to be able to match up and you take him until you're called off. And so number one, it's pre-snap analysis and communication. And then it's in play, essentially analysis and communication. But more importantly, that's set up for all the work from all the work you do during the week.
Last 2 weeks now.
Or last 2 weeks, sure. And also it's the what, Austin? Everybody wants adjustments at halftime. That, you know, everybody listening on the ticket right now. I just want to break. It's like I'm going to tell you something right now. It's like when you found out Santa Claus wasn't real. Halftime adjustments are not real. In reality, what I mean by this is if I'm a defensive coordinator and we're getting fried, I'm not going to say, you know what? Go ahead and just blow us out of the water. And at halftime, we're going to solve the problems. It's literally play by play, series by series. And so you have to find out how you're playing, how you're executing, and then also how to adjust to what Michigan State has put in their bye week offensively and defensively, in this case, offensively. But you can't ever show up to a game like scared a quarterback run game, right? Yeah, sure, Underwood got out of there. That was more on Nebraska versus Underwood. We didn't really get across the guard's face in a TE stunt. That has nothing to do with Underwood. That's on us. You fix you first. You don't have to really worry about your opponent. You got to respect your opponent, but you don't go into a game and, you know, worry about everything that could happen. You got to go make it happen, because if you play to such a level, you won't have to worry about what they're doing, because they're going to now adjust play by play, series by series to what you're doing. So more importantly is you got to dictate the pace by your play.
And some of this too is not often having the exact right answer, but having problem solving skills.
Yeah.
More of a if X, then Y. Because you can look at this play from Michigan State, and I'm sure, Jay, you could go 4, 5, 6 different things Michigan State could probably adjust to. And if you're Nebraska, you can't say, if they do this look in this situation, we know for sure that this is coming.
Yeah.
You can say, it's probably this. They've done this. Watch out for this. But then that's where I think I go back to what you say about be a football player. You give them all the possibilities, and then it's up to the players to guess right, communicate right, and make the call.
Yeah, you get a sheet generally, or we did, based on film study by the coaches, whoever, what potentially the team's going to do. Then you take that and you study film with it, and then you study formations. More importantly, what you could do right now. I gave you the tip with the running back. Now, teams like your Colts will fool you because they have Peyton Manning. If you're not studying these linemen right now, I can tell you right now, obviously I've seen it a million times, who's pulling. If you look at right now, the right guard, okay, the defense is left, and the left guard. If he wants to go left, that means if he wants to pull this way with this left guard, look at his left foot.
He's got drop step it a little bit.
Right. And if he wants the right guard in this case, wants to, it's like a half pull. We used to call it a trigger. You know, that's, we used to name offensive linemen in there. If he wants to kind of gallop step and cut him off, what does he do?
Got to drop step.
He's got to essentially cross over backwards. You got to understand, you got to study things that you normally won't do. I think sometimes when young football players are playing and they don't know how to study tape, and I was blessed enough. When I got into the NFL, I learned how to study NFL tape. I learned how to study college tape because I had good guys around me. Once you learn how to study tape, you actually can spend 30 minutes just like we did on this play. And you go through every single defense. That's how you make educated guesses, Austin. And you don't guess. And you, just like I addressed, my educated guess was white shirt, black suit, would match versus trying to put together something and you look like you got dressed in the dark. That's why you see this young man here before we go to break, this linebacker right here, guessed wrong. You want to know why he guessed wrong? It's because he didn't understand how to count. Okay. Oof. When you count, okay, if you want to do 1, 2, 3 or ABCs, whatever you want to rhyme with, right? 1, 2, 3 gaps here. I'm wrong, right?
You're just doing lines. You're doing alleys.
Okay.
I see what you're going for.
The 3 or outside gap, which is essentially a C gap, is stuffed by him, right? Just if this defensive tackle didn't move, this B gap is shut down. Okay. So the only thing to the defensive players left is something that essentially could run into this A gap. There is no reason for you to go left. Because if it goes left, it's going to come back right. Well, they fooled you. They went right from the beginning, and you went left.
Well, they didn't even fool you. Yeah. You didn't take the obvious hints.
You guys called, you know, I know you're probably young. You've never seen 48 hours. You got the banana in the tailpipe. So there you go, Whiteboard Wednesday. Look for this play. Look for this formation, either by static formation, I mean lining up in it, or motion to it. Tight splits, running back depth, and then you look at the big guys leaning back and see where they're going.
Simple as that.
Yeah. And everything's solved. There we go. You'll be the best defense in the nation. Right? Anyways, appreciate you listening. Old School Whiteboard Wednesday, Austin Orr and Jay Foreman. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It is Old School. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman with you. Don't forget, game day play dates at the Lincoln Children's Museum. If you're a parent and want to go to a game, don't know what to do with your kid, maybe they can't sit through the whole game, don't worry. Our friends at the Lincoln Children's Museum have you covered with their game day play dates. While you enjoy the game inside the stadium, your kids get their own game day experience from the Lincoln Children's Museum. Drop-off is 90 minutes before the game. Pickup is up to 60 minutes after the game. And while you're cheering on the Huskers, the kids can enjoy fun activities involving science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, all centered around the theme of football and getting active. It's affordable, convenient, and just steps away from Memorial Stadium. If that sounds like something you're interested in, go register your child or your children prior to game day online at LincolnChildrensMuseum.org.
That's pretty sweet.
Would agree.
Yeah, sometimes when I have family in town, I want to drop them off over there, too.
Unfortunately for you, the ages are 5 to 12.
That's so. All right. They fit it. They just go in this hat. All they got to do is talk a little bit, and they just fit right in. You know, just wear them out, and they'll be asleep the whole way. I'm not just playing. That's pretty cool. It's a great idea, the Children's Museum, and I think they've been marketing on the ticket, and I think every single game or weekend, or actually not weekend, every single game day has been sold out. So I think it's a great option for parents to obviously go to the game, and then obviously, you know, allow their kids to have a enjoyable experience at the Children's Museum. So, anyways, I appreciate you guys listening and watching on for the Whiteboard Wednesdays. When you're in the middle of the week, for any game, but in particular one coming off the bye week, it's a great time because you probably should be, you know, rested and chomping at the bit to get out there and play. Tomorrow's 2 days away from the game, so majority of the heavy lifting as far as like preparation is, you know, done, and you're just finishing up the day. But it's obviously a point in the season, and then obviously a point in the work week that's probably the most important, because you know, ideally probably the last time you wear pads in the, you know, you hadn't played in, which seems like a forever, but it's been a little over a week.
It's forever in football.
It is.
Football
years. It is, because football players and just like fans, you're in a rhythm, and the season kind of goes week by week. You're almost like on autopilot. And so you want to go out there and right the wrong, and you get to play at home, which is different, you know, for Nebraska most likely, or I would say most likely, majority of the years Nebraska after a tough loss has had to go on the road. So you essentially, are doubling down on your misery a little bit going on the road. I think one of the most interesting things you heard Coach Rhule say is that you don't want the Michigan loss to be two losses. You don't want them to beat you twice. I don't think it was, you know, there's two ways to look at it. Physically, like when I played, we'd beat people up to where they'd lose the next week. This thing, I think, is more of a mentally to make sure that you lock back in and understand that you've done out of the 10 things that you need to do to be, have a good season. You've probably done like seven and a half of those or whatever it is. And so you're doing way more positive than negative. And sometimes you can get caught up, especially when you lose your first game, keep going back to that. So you got to make sure you stay with the right mind frame.
You better not be physically beat up with a week off after week four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michigan's tough. Yeah. They're big, fast, strong, physical, what have you, but you're going to be a D1 college football team that wants to win double digit games.
Yeah.
You can't tell me you're beat up in week four. That can't carry over for 2 weeks. So then it comes to what you said, the mental portion of things, which is something Matt Rhule says he's seen his team make strides in. Here's where you prove it. Mm-hmm. You come out, you throw the first punch, you take theirs, you throw another one, and then you throw the last punch. it's time for Nebraska to do that coming off a bye week against, again, similar thing in Michigan State, who 2 weeks ago didn't have as physical a game. But again, it's week four. You get an early bye week. This is a luxury, really, getting two bye weeks and one of them comes this early. Sure, maybe you want to be in rhythm and keep playing, but if this was week seven or week eight, Nebraska got its first bye week, okay, fine. You can maybe convince me of that, but it's week four. And you sat out 35% of the Akron game, if you're the starters, and you sat out half of the Houston Christian game. You shouldn't be tired or beat up.
It's not a physical thing. I was just saying there's two ways that, you know, you can get beat twice. Now, we used to beat teams up all the time twice, or they, you know, have two losses based on when they played us in the week after. This is more of a mental thing. I think the bye week, you know, came perfectly for Nebraska, whether they won or lost, but in particular after a loss, is because, training camp was, you know, right around 30 days. Then you played, which was an odd, you know, you started off on a Thursday, then you had a kind of a mini bye week, right? Because you get a couple days off there. And then you had two kind of, you know, layups, and then you played Michigan and lost. And so you were able to kind of, you know, reset, refresh, and it's more of a mental reset, refresh. And you're able to see things that you need to address and get better at that are all fixable. Then you're able to go get them fixed, right? I think Coach Rule said they went good on good. And then now you get to go out there for the next four games and really do something, you know, special. And it'd only be special if you handle your business, I think 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Indeed. Drumstick says, is double bye week something new? Don't remember two bye weeks ever. It's happened a few times for Nebraska in the last 5 years. So it's more new because college football is going to the week zero sort of format.
Yeah. And we had a bye week. I always talk about when we had bye weeks, I hated it. You know, granted, you get more rest and obviously that's the whole point of it. But we used to get after it. You know, we'd go back to full pads, which, you know, obviously worked out well for us. I was able to win three national championships. But
as a player, did you prefer bye weeks in college or the NFL?
The NFL especially, because it was the old NFL where you had 6 weeks of training camp and they're, you know, way more padded. And, you know, you play 16 regular season games. Ideally, the way we used to have it in Buffalo, we were very fortunate. We get off to a good start, hit a lull, get back on track, bye week, finish strong. But you don't get to pick it. Sometimes you get it after the third week and you go play over in Dublin and all that, and then you already get the bye week. So
I can't get over the Vikings getting two straight games internationally.
Getting or have to do it?
Well, being given.
Yeah. Well, I think
being told to take this.
Well, here's the deal. If you saw the way that the Vikings traveled versus the Pittsburgh Steelers traveled, you see that's the NFL ponied up for that nice airplane. I think staying over there for the Vikings before they got on the plane was going to be a great experience if they pulled out that game. Now they lost, and now it's obviously back to work, and you're on unfamiliar territory, but it's a great experience, and the NFL is trying to grow, you know, globally. So sometimes you got to be a part of it. I mean, Jacksonville Jaguars can only go over there so much, right? The Vikings, you know, are a blue blood organization. They travel extremely well with Pittsburgh, and I'm sure they're going to beat Cleveland. Now they got the second coming of Pocket Hercules starting for them in Dylan Gabriel.
Drumstick says, if the Vikings don't have Justin Jefferson, they don't have two international games. And see, to me, I can see both sides of that. Justin Jefferson's the sell, top two receiver in the NFL. For my money, he's number one, but that's legitimate debate. So yeah, you want to send a guy like that overseas to market to fans, but also that's a guy that you want to continue to put up numbers at home. And as simple as you can make things, there's a fine line and a balance to be drawn between send your best talent that you need to perform at the top of his game overseas, you know, to spread that news, but also keep him home, comfortable rhythm, routine, where you know he's going to be good.
Yeah, he's definitely a sellable player. Personality is great too, obviously with the gritty and everything. But more importantly, they have Carson Wentz as their quarterback, so it doesn't matter if you're playing on the moon. I don't think any rhythm is going on with Carson Wentz, and so
never forget, he had the Colts one win away from a playoff spot before they bombed against
Jacksonville.
And there was the Raiders in Jacksonville.
Yeah. So I mean, Carson Wentz is gonna Carson Wentz. And so, you know, look, it's part of being a superstar. And sometimes you got to do what's best for the
Shield,
the company, the Shield. And the Vikings are in it. And now they're in a must win against Cleveland. I mean, I hate for the Vikings to go over there. I wouldn't hate for it. I mean, yeah, well, that's family to go over there and lose two games internationally.
We got to talk about Shadur when we get back. You saw what he did?
Yeah.
We got to talk about
it. Yeah, we got to talk about it. Yeah, we'll talk about Shadur. You know, we don't like talking about Colorado players, but
Make fools of themselves,
finds a way to put himself in the news. Jay Foreman and Austin Norman, we'll be right back.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Norman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman. Quick segment here. Once again, appreciate you guys tuning in and listening and watching on Whiteboard Wednesday. But without any further ado, if you haven't seen, Shadur Sanders did the – I thought something was wrong with the mic. And the backstory is, into his defense, they asked him about where he's at. He felt like he was better than a lot of quarterbacks in the league. They ran with it and said he took a shot at the second coming of Pocket Hercules. So I'm sure somebody in his camp advised him, next time you get asked about quarterbacks, say nothing without saying, or say a lot without saying anything. And he took it literally, and he was essentially lip syncing, right?
You're just miming.
Miming.
Just like a Paris cafe.
I think for him, I think he was wrongly evaluated in his pre-draft. I've been in those pre-draft meetings. Either they want you to fail or you don't. It's kind of like when a guy goes for a physical. But then also, I think you have to evaluate where you're at. Now, he can't help that he's famous. Now, he is famous, whether you like it or not. And he's famous on and off the field, and he does a lot of great things. But what's getting overtaken by that is this. At some point in time, you have to understand, where he's at is the hardest spot to be. And this is a true statement.
Famous but not good?
The only job in the world that it works against you that you're famous is backup quarterback. Period. We've seen people famous do a lot of things that they aren't qualified for. And he's qualified, but he's famous, and he's the backup quarterback. That doesn't fly in the NFL. So that's not going to change. What has to change is how he has to be able to play the game within the game in this new age way of doing it. The problem is, he got a big old bank account. I mean, he does that like Twitch stuff. He gets paid millions of dollars. He's making millions of dollars off of jersey sales. So really, what's the incentive for him? But if you really want to go out there and prove yourself, you're going to have to make some concessions.
So isn't that the motivation for him? I got to prove myself? I mean, if he thinks he's already proven himself and everything he needs to, that's his first mistake. At some point, don't you say, I'm tired of this conversation? No, I want to prove that I'm more than just the conversation around me. I'm not saying he's not putting in the work behind the scenes. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve an opportunity to prove it. But then you see something like this where, I mean, he's laughing about it. He knows exactly what he's doing. But at some point, either you take ownership of it and, no, I got to get better, or I got to go somewhere where I can have this opportunity, or I got to fall in line and understand the reality of my situation.
He knows he's in Cleveland, and he knows most likely he'll get another shot, or he'll get a shot, because Cleveland's evaluating for next year.
Right.
Probably not handling it the best, but, you know, a young, 22-year-old, you know, they know everything. We don't know anything. So appreciate you guys listening. All 3 hours, Old School. We'll be back tomorrow. And then on Friday, we will be out at Cornhusker Bank, 84th and O Street. But for Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, we'll holler at you tomorrow.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.